Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. Today we have quite a show with four guests on today, looking at the notion of meditation, which is kind of a strange thing to talk about in Fairfield. But we're looking at the notion of what is meditation, especially from somebody who doesn't meditate and those who do, and having that discussion around the concept of meditation and its usefulness, its limitations, and the different kinds of meditations. A larger discussion around the concept of meditation and mental health. You are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. I am Dr. Scott Terry, apparently. And it's good to know who I am once in a while. Sometimes I'm not quite sure anymore.
Nice to meet you, Scott Terry.
There you go. Thank you. And you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. Some of the shows are archived there. Some are archived on the Ardent Center, on the Ardent YouTube, Ardent Counseling Center YouTube channel. How am I saying that? Elizabeth, help me out.
I truly had never
Ardent
heard
Counseling
of it until today.
Center YouTube channel.
There you go. Thank you, Kyle. All right. And you could email us at scott@ardentcenter.com regarding any questions. Can you say that more clearly than I can? scott@ardentcenter.com.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, there. I think sometimes people don't know how to spell ardent, and it's A-R-D.
What does ardent mean, Scott?
Passionate.
So, yeah. So what's your email again?
Well, you say it.
scott@ardentcounseling.com.
No, scott@ardentcenter.com.
scott@ardentcenter.com.
There you go.
scott@ardentwhat.com?
Center.
Okay, cool. Anyways, enough about that.
We have a goal to just flood Scott with emails.
Yeah, thank you. All right, enough emails here. I get over 100 a day. But let's try and get into this topic. So everyone's going to introduce themselves and say who they are and why they're coming to this little dance today.
Hi, I'm Kyle, and I'm one of Scott's interns. I love to play music, and I love to dance, apparently.
Apparently. And you have a background in meditation.
Yeah, I have a background in meditation. I have a bachelor's in psychology. I have a background in research and counseling, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, good.
Hi, my name's Elizabeth Adler. I'm a music teacher and one of Scott's interns. And I'm also a meditator. I've been meditating for a little over 2 years now.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Peter Schanowski, and I've been a meditator for a while now, and I was invited here. I was recently under a very stressful situation, so I can talk all about how meditation helped me through that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. And and Danielle.
And I am Danielle McWilliams. I am one of Scott's interns. I'm almost done with school, going to be a therapist. I have zero background in meditation, so I am a non-meditator.
Well, that's why I think it's good. And just to be clear, Peter is not an intern. Thank you, Peter. It's good to have somebody
have
who's
non-intern.
Not an intern. Okay.
Not yet.
Well, next week, apparently, he'll join us. We don't know how or why, but he will. Okay. So, Danielle, why don't you start this conversation going?
Okay. So, I presented the idea of talking about meditation and the kind of how it can help. I understand that there's a lot of different kinds of meditation. So I think a lot of times when people think of meditation, they think like sitting there, legs crossed, you know, like eyes closed. But I think there's different forms of meditation. For me, I'm not a meditator. I feel like my brain is constantly on overdrive. So meditating for me just seems more stressful than anything. And so just kind of hearing how it can help or how to even get into it and how to even start that process, I think is just, would be tremendously helpful.
So I'd like to jump in here. Danielle, I came into the whole meditating world with pretty much saying exactly what you're saying right now, which is that I do not have the kind of brain that likes to settle. Mm-hmm. And I think that some people are naturally more inclined to just kind of being able to clear their mind than others, or inclined towards, you know, if someone says it's time to be peaceful now, some people are able to just sort of be peaceful. That is not how I am. It's not how I was before I started meditating. It's not how I am now. And I would do yoga classes and end up sobbing at the end of the classes because the instructor was saying, like, calm yourself, you know, feel all the good things. And I wasn't feeling all the good things. I was feeling stressed out and watching other people do yoga better than me.
You feel something good.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, but what ended up happening with me was that I had had anxiety for my whole life, pretty much. And I met Kyle.
Describe what anxiety is, by the way. Experientially. That's a really interesting question. So, by the way, none of us are TM teachers or teachers of meditation. And we're looking at this from a mental health perspective today and simply looking at how meditation, but also the larger discussion about utilizing the concepts of meditation in our daily life, even if you are a meditator. How can you use it from a mental health perspective? But so what is anxiety?
So it's, I think it is different for different people.
I know
people.
That's a weird thing.
I mean, it's a, I think that it's a constant state of living in a state of worry or fear, but without an actual legitimate source of that fear. So I would say, I mean, that's certainly not the dictionary definition. But,
no, right, exactly. But that's
but
what I want.
For me, it was, it has been and still is, the reality of always having some worry kind of festering in my mind, going on repeat. I have my particular anxiety has a sort of obsessive strain to it, so I would. There are things that I worry about, and I feel that it's very, very difficult for me to bring my mind away from those things. And I almost feel like I'm supposed to be focusing on those things, like they're problems to solve, as opposed to being unnecessary negative thoughts that make my life much more difficult. So,
wow, how raw and authentic that definition is. I really enjoy that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I love the definition. I just heard a wonderful TED Talk. And by the way, if anybody doesn't know TED, that you should. Everybody should. TED. Look them up, TED.com. And what you will see is the most brilliant people on the entire planet talking about every issue from mental health issues to technology to education to arts to music, the most brilliant people giving short 18-minute talks or less on various subjects. Pure, clean. Anyways, there was a wonderful TED Talk I watched last week while I was working out myself, which probably is a strange thing to do. And the guy was talking about going through depression, and he said, if I thought about depression and I thought I could live with depression for 6 months, yes, I can do it, is what he thought, because essentially you're withdrawing into yourself and feeling that pain. I could just escape and draw away. That was his definition, not mine. But when he talked about anxiety, he said, if I thought I could, I'd have to live through it for another month, I'd kill myself. He was saying I couldn't handle it anymore. And
interesting.
It felt such torture with that experience of how he defined anxiety and that he couldn't escape what he was experiencing. And so it's really kind of an interesting thing. Again, we put these definitions, especially as therapists, on these conditions. Oh, this is other characteristics of depression or anxiety or whatever it is. But it's different for everybody. And what you experience is profound to you. And as I always say, the question isn't what's there, but not being, like we were talking about in our previous show about football, not being in denial about what's going on and saying, what do I want to create with it? Mm-hmm. What can I create with it given my limitations? Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry to cut you off, Elizabeth.
No, that's all right. Thank you. So anyway, I guess the punchline of all of this is that I met Kyle around 2 years ago, and we started dating. And he is a meditator, a longtime meditator, and talked to me a lot about how specifically TM, Transcendental Meditation, had changed his life. And I was really eager to do something about my anxiety. And even though I consider myself not a very spiritual person, not a very sort of innately peaceful person, and not a meditating type of person, I went in and learned TM at a TM center in New York on Madison Avenue, which I had never known existed. The center, not Madison Avenue. I knew Madison was there. I learned... So the thing that made it work for me is that it's not a technique where you're supposed to clear your mind. If your mind happens to be clear, great, good for you. But it's a meditation that involves a mantra. And basically, your focus is going in and out of that mantra. So you're having your thoughts, you're having your thoughts. Oh, there's the mantra. You're having your thoughts, you're having your thoughts. There's the mantra. And so it's really, you know, it's closer to just kind of existing than doing anything that requires the sort of effort of clearing your mind, because obviously that's kind of a contradiction if you're having to put that much
right. So there's
strain.
No effort in this particular type of meditation, and there's also the reason I prescribe it, so to speak, to clients all the time is because this is the only one that I found that has a real brain chemistry change. That doesn't mean that I'm exclusionary and say this is the only meditation. I think, again, it's really about application and what is it going on with you and what you want to create.
So, Elizabeth, since you've become a Hinduist, how has your life changed?
Well, Kyle, I have not become Hindu, although it's a beautiful religion. So there are some very spiritual aspects to Transcendental Meditation, or to the community that many people in the community that practices that technique. I have, generally speaking, tried to avoid those more spiritual aspects because they don't gel with me particularly. But the actual technique, the actual meditation, it had an effect on me right away. As soon as I started doing it, I started experiencing these feelings in my neck, my face, my hands, my legs, these physical, and it wasn't comfortable. Actually, it was very uncomfortable. But this sort of feeling that there was all this stress that had been kind of bottled up in me, and it was just starting to come out, and it was like a very painful sort of unclenching feeling. I would also often get very emotional from meditating in a similar way, like maybe I had been holding on to a lot of emotional stress, and it would come out in these moments of meditation or after. So I've kept doing it. It's 20 minutes twice a day. I have not experienced the kind of like crazy overwhelming bliss that a lot of people describe. I don't feel like I have I don't feel like I'm in touch with God. I don't feel any different spiritually than I did, but when I first started. But I do feel like my life is more manageable. My anxiety is more in control, and I have a sort of touchstone at the beginning of each day, and you know, in the middle of each day. So
Elizabeth, this morning, I'm Elizabeth's boyfriend, Kyle, and Elizabeth, you were feeling anxious or something this morning, or you just got done meditating, and you said that was nice.
Yeah,
and,
it felt good.
And I was asking you, what was that exactly? Was it you connecting with God? Was it just like this effortless settling of the mind and body? Was it you were feeling anxious and just like going back and forth from that?
To me, it feels like, you know, when you've had a long day, a long full day, you've been, you know, running around outside, having fun, and then you get into bed to go to sleep, and it's really dark in your room, and it's a really comfortable bed, and you just sort of settle. That's sort of what that feeling is like.
So why not just go to sleep or take a nap or close your eyes and just rest without doing the practice? What's the difference between all that?
Well, I mean, and I can't speak to that on a scientific level, really, but I meditated at something like 11 this morning, and if I had tried to go to sleep at that point, I think I would have woken up feeling uncomfortable and sort of groggy and strange, if I had even been able to sleep at all. But, you know, I meditated, and when I got out of that, I felt really refreshed and ready to take on the day. So just in that very specific situation, that's how I felt.
You are listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters. Today we're talking about the notion of meditation, which is funny talking about in Fairfield, but it is also good to kind of get people's experiences that they're having, and what again, we want to create from this experience of meditation for all of us, and to remind ourselves, maybe people have been meditating a long time, and they've lost that innocence of, why was I doing this? And what was, again, separating out that technique from some group that they felt uncomfortable with. And coming back to, what is it I want? Why can this tool help me or not help me? And maybe there's a better tool, or maybe this tool is great and I need to just come back to utilizing a tool without the notion of the group behind it. Anyways, I bring it back to you.
So my name is Peter, and before I had meditated, I was dropped out of school, and I was just working and studying on my own. But about 2 months after meditation, I decided, hey, maybe I could go back to school. And 6 months later, I was here in Fairfield. And for once, I was focusing in my classes, and I was doing my homework, and I got my first straight A's ever.
Wow, congratulations. and so you attribute this to utilizing this tool.
Yeah, and I attribute it to the clearness of mind that I... just from practicing TM, not, you know, trying to clear my mind, it just naturally happened. But 3 years later, which is now, you know, last summer, I lost two very close family members, my grandma and my mother, and it was a very stressful situation. And all sorts of responsibilities were required of me that I'd never, you know, imagined being able to handle. And I was able to, you know, work harder and focus my energy in a way that I'd never been able to do. In order to, you know, try to do research to my mother had cancer and try to figure out what it is I could do to comfort her and maybe help improve her situation. But after they had passed, it was quite a stressful situation all around. And there was, you know, a lot of responsibilities as far as working, and so I was very busy. And with meditation, I didn't quite realize how much anxiety and depression was building in me. And so once things sort of settled down after Christmas, business got less busy, I had some time to sort of just relax. But then I started having these anxiety attacks. I'd wake up 1:30 in the morning shaking and just not getting very much sleep, and during the day if I was pacing. And
so what helped?
So what ended up helping was, I even though I was going through this, I didn't have a sense of panic, even though everything that was happening within me was shouting at me as a panic, my body, but my mind was still resolved on, you know, getting the help I needed. And I went, you know, saw a doctor and, you know, got the correct diagnosis. And actually what ended up stopping the panic attacks was not meditation. That just gave me the clearness of mind and the resolve to get through it. What happened to help was when I started to do a breathing exercise, whereas breathing deeply through what they call pranayama.
Okay. So again, you use the body techniques, the meditation techniques and the body techniques to essentially, as we would say, take back control over yourself.
Right.
Take back control over what's going on. And I love how you described, like, what Elizabeth was talking about, having that anxiety as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really interesting is almost this notion of witnessing it. Like, you're seeing what's going on, your body's screaming at you, but you're not getting trapped in it.
Right.
Which is a really interesting notion. Like, that I could have an experience of anxiety, but not so lost in that anxiety that I can't function. I realize that's what's going on. It's sort of like I'm at the dentist and I realize, this is a terrible analogy, but I'm in pain, right? And it's like, instead of freaking out, I go, right, of course I'm in pain. I'm at the dentist. He's drilling on my teeth. Okay. Instead of fighting it, I settle back and I just sort of watch it go on and I notice the pain, but I let go of it. I've been having problems with my feet, and it's like I notice the pain, but I don't get lost in that pain. Is that a way to describe it?
Yeah, I mean, it was...
I love that dentist analogy.
It was pretty obvious that it was a situational anxiety, and it was the release of what I had been going through. I'd pretty much been in fight or flight for 6 months or longer.
Wow.
And just to make sure that everything that I needed to have done was being done. And when I was able to relax, my body didn't want to quite settle down, but my mind was in a state where I was able to, you know, think through it logically and get the help.
Yeah, and I like that. And I like, again, we're not interested in magic bullets, because magic bullets really don't work. What we're interested in, I take the pill. Okay, you take the pill, maybe some of the things go away. I do the meditation. That's great, or whatever it is. But getting the ultimate answer is you. You're the one utilizing the meditation. You're the one utilizing exercise or the pills or the this or the that. Or a breathing technique, pranayama with the meditation or whatever it is. It's getting that you are the one choosing to take control over your life. You are the chooser. Every client I see will recognize that, have heard that one way too much. You're getting that you're the one who gets to choose what reality you're picking and what then you can do with it. That's the point, is that we're not looking for answers, we're looking to be on a path to be better.
So, you know, meditation helps the brain and it helps create gray matter in the brain. You know, research has showed both with mindfulness and with TM that when you meditate, you create more gray matter in the brain. And the brain is the interface between basically yourself in out here in reality. And I mean, it's both the same in the real world where you see a desk. It's the interface between you and your senses. And so when you meditate, it's helping to build that. And by building that, essentially, you're able to better express yourself and better react in reality. And so when you choose an experience, when you say, I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to exercise, or I'm going to have sugar, you're going to create a certain connection in your brain. And then when you go to sleep that night, you're going to wake up and that connection is going to be there. And so in a way, you're choosing what you're going to experience tomorrow, how you want to experience tomorrow in that way. So the choices or the decisions or the experiences that you choose now are going to mold into tomorrow.
I like that.
So, Danielle, having heard all of that, do you have any questions?
No, I mean, I think it just sounds like for everybody, the experience is so different, which, you know, I find fascinating and awesome, but it's different in this, it's the same in the sense that it's helpful, but it's different in the sense of, you know, people get into it for different reasons, people find different kinds that work for them, and it's just, it's intriguing to me, and especially, you know, somebody like myself, and I think similar to you, Elizabeth, where just our minds are constantly on overdrive and there's anxiety, and then there's times where I'm so, like, ADHD, I can't even sit still and I'm all over the place. To have a tool like that to kind of almost bring you back to the present and just connect your mind and body is just a really fascinating thing, especially even for me, somebody that doesn't practice it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we only have another 2 minutes here. But I think obviously we should do another show on this. This is really so powerful how you guys are describing, and I love how we're not really talking about meditation, but we are. You know, we're really talking about our experiences and how tools, for instance, this meditation tool, could be utilized, and how essentially we could take control back over our lives and get back our own power and who we are, so that. So the sequencing I talk about is that you get to choose what reality you want, which it brings you back to taking more control and power back over your life, which leads you to have greater purpose and greater sense of, larger sense of why I'm here and what I'm here to create in my life. And so starting on the path instead of trying to get an answer. So, Elizabeth, is there anything else you want to say to Danielle, or to finish up this discussion today?
I would just say I totally embrace what you just said about sort of the diversity of experiences of meditation. And I would say that something just along a similar line, I expected in coming to Fairfield that everyone was going to be the same. I thought everybody was going to be a sort of my idea of a cartoon character meditator who was, you know, peaceful and sort of spacey and spoke in a very soft voice like this. And I've met some people like that, but I've also met people who meditate who are total jerks, people who are like really passionate and interesting, people who are really offbeat, people who are really conservative. I have seen as large a variety of people within the meditating community as I've seen a variety of experiences. So it's pretty fascinating to see how that's possible.
All right. Thank you. Danielle, anything else you want to say goodbye?
No, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, everybody. Another wonderful show, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. You're listening to KRUU 100.1 on FM dial, Mental Health Matters, and stay in touch. Seriously, stay in touch and make a difference in your life, in the lives of those around you today. Today is the day to make a difference, and you can do this today. Today's your day. Great. All right. And with that laughter, we will head on out. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.